Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbach. I'm so glad that you've tuned in. We're coming to you from Herb's House, the iconic Herb's House here in Dallas, Texas. The title of this devotion is Holy Boldness. And if you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. I want to begin by reading the verse. It's a great verse. Paul says, "But after we already suffered and had been mistreated in Philippi, we had boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition." Holy boldness. Kent, we are reminded again from this verse that all ministry costs something. And depending upon the culture, depending upon the region and what all is going on in the world, it often involves persecution. I mean, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:12, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, some more so than others." And in Paul's case, it involved a great amount of painful persecution as he was on his missionary journeys. And he makes mention of this, and he begins this verse by talking about his trip to Philippi, where he suffered and had been mistreated. And you'll recall there how he preached the gospel to Lydia and some women by the riverside. God opened their hearts. They were converted. A church was spontaneously planted. Paul is preaching the gospel, and he literally creates a riot. And the officials, the authorities of the government come and arrest him. They literally drag him through the streets of Philippi and throw him into the prison, where it leads to the jailer being converted, then his whole household being converted. You remember that? Well, Paul, I mean, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was in chains, and after he was released to now go to Thessalonica, if I had been Paul, I would have been tempted to maybe change the method of my ministry. Like, yeah, I just got beat up in Philippi.
Do something different.
Yeah, let's just do something different. I mean, let's mix it up here.
Yeah.
Let's call a different play.
Yeah.
I mean, off tackle right, we just got slammed.
Everybody needs to be quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to soften the message. We need to pull it back. How can we make this more palatable for the people in Thessalonica? Mm-hmm. Paul doesn't do that. He goes, "You recall, after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi," he said, "we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel," referring to Thessalonica, "with much opposition." Paul wouldn't tone it down. He wouldn't downshift. He wouldn't try a different strategy with a different emphasis or a different focus. No, he said, we had boldness in our God. Now, the word boldness is a very important word, Kent. Mm-hmm. And out of the original language, it just simply means all speech. And the idea is you give a full disclosure of the message, that you don't withhold any part of the gospel, that you actually warn people of the wrath to come. You call people to repent. You call people to self-denial and cross-bearing. You call people to burn their bridges behind them to an old lifestyle, and to now come and follow a man who was crucified and rejected by the world. Paul had much boldness to continue to put that message out there in Thessalonica, knowing there's going to be the same result. Yes, there will be people converted, but also, yes, we will pay a great price for this. But Paul did not hesitate to speak up. And he says, we had the boldness in our God, meaning God was fueling their boldness and enlarging their boldness to speak to you the gospel of God, because amid much opposition. And this word, opposition, Kent, is a Greek word. I'm going to pronounce it agon. It comes into the English language, agony. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a soft sell message. or a soft sell ministry, it involved agony. Mm-hmm. It involved opposition and suffering and mistreatment. And we're not to have a martyr spirit and go around looking for it, but we shouldn't be surprised either when we catch flack for our faith. And I don't know how this is connecting personally with you as you're watching this, as Kent and I are going to talk about this, but this may speak very directly to where you are right now in your Christian life as you are having to pay some sort of price for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Kent, let's talk about it.
Well, I think at a minimum, Stephen, I think of this boldness and suffering that a lot of it starts with, I don't want to be rejected. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be thought of. I don't want to talk to my friend about Christ and him to be mad at me.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
And I think at the very basic level, it's almost like I think about we need to be contrarians. The whole world is going this way, mm-hmm. and yet we're swimming upstream like the salmon do.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be. I don't want to lose a friend.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to tell him that he's headed to hell. And I think, do you think that's maybe kind of step one?
Oh yeah.
That we need to get over what people might say or think about us.
Yeah. No. You put your finger on a live nerve. I think that there is inherent in all of us a desire to be approved by
yeah.
other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that if I witness to this person and they just really slam the door shut, that I'm going to lose their approval. I'm going to lose this relationship. They're going to think poorly of me. And sometimes we're too concerned about what people think of us. I think that that's at the heart of it. And we need to be consciously aware I need God's approval more than I need man's approval. And that requires really being in the Word and being filled with the Spirit to rise to that level. So I think you've really addressed a very important issue. And at times that's in me. I'll have to admit that.
Yeah. It's just a natural instinct.
It is.
Because we want to be approved. We don't want to
yeah.
be, we don't want, I don't want to lose a longtime friend.
Yeah, we want to be people's friend. And yet a true friend
right.
will say what is most important mm-hmm. to someone else. And the Bible, Proverbs talks about the wounds of a friend and that brings healing. And the greatest thing you could ever do for anyone else is to tell them about Jesus Christ. And yet at times we want to pull back from that. Can't we just need holy boldness
mm-hmm.
for there to be a full disclosure
yeah, we do.
Of the message of the Word of God, and not even just cherry pick those parts that are more palatable to mm-hmm. talk about, such as we'll talk about heaven, but not hell.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about faith, but not repentance.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about Jesus as Savior, but not the demands of His Lordship.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about our sins being taken off of us, but be slow to talk about bearing the cross that we must carry in following Christ. We want to talk about living for Christ, but not dying to self. So it's not either or, it's both and. And I don't want this to come across as this is all negative, but the fact is, the old saying, no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
I mean, there just comes this sacrifice and suffering to advance the cause yeah. of the gospel of Christ.
At all different levels.
At all different levels.
The minimum level is, I guess what you're saying is the world just is opposed to our message, right?
It really is. And they're opposed to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been well said, if Jesus was to come back today, they'd still crucify him again.
Yeah, they would.
That his message is too intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
It's too exclusive. It's too everything that is contrary to what the world wants to believe about religion. So, Kent, we need holy boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from the Holy Spirit. And it comes from being in God and in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining us today on Steadfast Hope. What a privilege it is for Kent and me to come to you with these devotions. And I trust that they have some life-changing, life-encouraging effect upon you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.